and welcome back to the Green Tea Podcast. I'm here with Rose and Thomas.
Hey, what's up, you guys? Welcome back to my channel.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to my podcast. I'm here today with Faith and Thomas.
And we are gathered here today with Rose and Faith.
No, that's my line. We are gathered here today.
Happy Tuesday. It's Tuesday for us, but it'll be Thursday for you when this comes out.
Unless you're listening.
Unless you're listening on a Tuesday, in which case, happy Tuesday.
I was like, you could also be
where are we going with this?
I don't know. Happy day it is that you're listening.
Yes. Yeah, happy time zone.
Yeah. We have some news, and it's that this is a season finale episode.
This is.
And we didn't really mention it before, but we kind of decided that this is a good breaking point for us.
Yeah.
Just because we're all going on some summer trip soon and we're going to be out of town, and we kind of wanted to upload the last episode and be able to have a few weeks off during the summer. So I assume we'll be back like August or late August, early September or something.
Yeah,
just
not
take
long.
Like a month or two.
Yeah.
A little break.
Yeah.
A summer vacay.
Surely. A little summer vacation, some might say. Euro vacation.
But this is our 30 year anniversary. No, this is our 30th episode.
Yeah.
30. Our dirty 30.
And dirty there's 30. Three of us.
Yeah.
Cute.
So we each get 10. Pick your favorites.
Wait, 30 episodes is a lot.
I think so.
That's pretty good.
I
yeah.
I feel like when it's accumulating every 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, like we don't have that many episodes, but 30?
No, we do. Yeah.
There's a lot of information about us
on
the internet.
That's true. Well, because when I'm titling the episodes stuff, I'm like, oh, like what have I already, I have to like look through the other titles because I'm like, I'm sure we talked about this before, and often we have, but also we have a lot of good, like fresh content every episode. I feel like there's a lot.
We don't often,
I was going to say we don't repeat ourselves, but that's not true.
Not true.
We repeat ourselves all the time, but I always feel like it's fresh and new and exciting and fun.
We try our darndest to be fresh.
Have you guys listened to any podcasts that are like long-standing that have hundreds of episodes?
Mm-mm.
Yes.
No, I forget you don't listen to podcasts, really.
Faith isn't a big podcast girly. Yeah.
I think I would be. Never mind. We can circle back.
Oh, no.
You
I was just going to say, like some podcasts that I listen to, like Cody Ko, TMG podcast, they have hundreds of episodes.
They do.
I think his newer podcast doesn't have that many, but the Insanely Chill
Insanely
with
chill.
Cody Ko, that one has a good amount. John and Hank Green have a podcast, which I don't consistently listen to, but like I've listened to a few here and there.
That
they
counts.
Have like
that
hundreds.
That
wow,
counts.
Yeah.
Like they are rolling out content.
I'm sure.
On all platforms. Mm-hmm. And I think we've talked about the Green Brothers on here before.
I don't know.
Oh, sure.
I've like lost what they're like. I don't know who they are anymore.
You lost touch.
Yeah, we've lost touch. What do they do? Are they? Is he still doing his crash courses?
I don't know if he still is.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are they doing now? Now that we've lost touch, what is he doing now?
Hank is really big on TikTok.
He is.
Like, he answers, like, people ask him questions, and he'll, like, do the research.
Yeah.
And come back to them with a response. So I think that's
smart, I guess, for him to, like, go on TikTok and be like, what do the people want? And then is John still writing?
I don't know. The last book that he came out with, I think, was during COVID, like the Anthropocene Reviewed. I'm pretty sure that came out during COVID.
And you read that, right?
No, but I bought it.
That's it.
If a John Green book comes out, I'm buying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair.
I read like part of it, but it's not a novel. It's,
right.
I don't know.
Something else.
It's something else.
I don't know what it
is. It's nonfiction.
Yeah,
it's nonfiction.
Is it like a memoir? Is it like...
No, it's not a memoir. It's like he...
Current event type thing.
Maybe Google it.
Yeah.
Do you know how to spell the Anthropocene?
Yeah.
And also, while you're at it, Google Anthropocene.
Okay. Anthropocene is like the human age.
Okay, yeah. So he talks about different human things, maybe.
Okay. Shared name for a podcast and nonfiction book by John Green. Okay, so it's also his podcast, but... Each episode reviews different facets of the human-centered planet on a 5-star scale.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So he rates it 1 to 5 stars and then writes a chapter about it.
Okay.
So it sounds really interesting, and I'm sure I would love it.
That's
I just
fun.
Haven't read it because I am reading like 15 books right now.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
That's fun. Okay,
it's actually, I mean, from the one chapter that I read, really great.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good.
We're in the Anthropocene. So
yes.
It's like Jurassic period.
Yeah. It's a
other period.
So
it's blurb on it says it's the Anthropocene is the proposed geological epoch that includes significant human impact on the environment.
So he talks a lot about different, I guess, human made and human.
Yeah, that actually looks very fascinating.
Human something. I don't know, but he does
human
it in
impact,
like a quirky, funny, like silly
in a
way.
John Green way.
He says 3 stars. Like, you know,
that's
like,
fun.
That's
funny. No, I like that. That's really cool. I like it.
Yeah. How did we get here?
We were talking about the Green Brothers because you've lost touch, Thomas, and
podcasts, and our 30 years.
And since we're talking about podcasts, getting back to our podcast, we should talk about what we're sipping on. What's our tea? God.
I tend to skip over that every time.
I know. I think about it and I try to work it in, but we always just. The fun thing is we always have a lot to say, so it's like we're not lacking for content.
What are you thinking and what are you
thinking? Yeah, exactly.
Today I brought tea from my work. So this is peach oolong tea, which I don't know if Elong is oolong.
Who?
I said Elong.
Yeah. Peach After oolong. You had just said oolong,
is it
too.
Green or black or both?
I don't think it's either. I think it's a different classification, technically.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's green, black, and oolong.
And shut it's also up. Like a lot of tea is like the same leaves, but it's just...
processed
how
or
it's, yeah like how it's prepared kind of but I can look it up.
It's very summery and refreshing, and I've been sipping on it all day at work as well.
Let's see. Yeah, it's separate from green and black tea, but I think it's just the way that it's its own category.
Yeah. Which green and black tea, which I've said before, same leaves.
Yeah, just prepared different. Yeah.
Love
that. I love tea.
So who's to say?
And you guys like the tea?
I love it.
Yeah, I do. We also added, shout out mom. She got this little like thing at the grocery store the other day. And like, you know, you can get like bottled like lemon juice and like lime juice and stuff. So she found this one that was like ginger and lemon. And so she was like, you can try it. And like whatever you want, because it's not like a sweet or a savory specific thing. It's like just ginger and lemon. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try my tea today. And I really like it. I have
really
it a lot.
Good.
And I like it a lot.
Yeah. I like it too.
Yeah. Very summer, very fresh.
Maybe I should bring some lemon to work to squeeze into the tea.
Yeah. Sometimes one of my coworkers brings like a huge bag of Meyer lemons in. I don't know who does it because I always just see the bag there. I need to ask around. But whoever it is, shout out, because I love a Meyer lemon and those lemons are always really good.
Love.
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember what I want to talk about.
Yeah, okay, I remember what I was thinking of, too.
And I was
so.
Just thinking, I have something to talk about, too.
Perfect. Okay, Thomas, you start.
Maybe I'll go later. Maybe, yeah. Oh. If your guys is more personal about your lives, talk about yourselves.
No, mine's not about
okay.
Mine.
Oh, yeah, yours is about mine stuff. Is. Yeah, you go.
I was just going to talk about what happened at my work.
Yeah, let's
finish
that up.
Oh, yeah.
So I opened on Monday, and I just recently got promoted, but I was waiting for like one of my coworkers to get there because I thought that she was running the shift, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, I ended up opening up the store. And I went in and I was like setting up music, and my coworker like walks out to the middle of the lobby and she was like, Rose? And I was like, what? Like, what's going on? Big pile of water in the middle of the floor.
Pile of water.
Yeah.
Puddle.
Sure.
Puddle. God forbid. A big puddle of water in the middle of the floor, and our ceiling is leaking.
Oh my gosh.
And it was still dripping when we were in there. Like, it wasn't like this was past water damage. This
no,
was like
yeah.
Currently
happening.
Water still damaging. It is water damaging.
Water doing the damage.
It was crazy. It was like a lot of water. So I called one of my bosses who lives closer, and she was like, oh, I'm not there. I'm 2 hours away. Oh. And I was like, oh, perfect. Awesome. So she
I thought it was going to be like, I'm not there. Not my problem.
No, she was like far away.
Okay, got
so
it.
So then she called our boss, mm-hmm. Who had already texted us earlier in the day at 6 a.m. and said like, hey, I have a really bad migraine. Mm. I'm not going to make it in today. Oh. And so then she basically had to come in, and we had an AC unit that was leaking from our ceiling, which sucks because we literally had just gotten it fixed like the Saturday before.
Oh.
And we're closed on Sundays. So it was just like leaking the whole like day and a half that we weren't there. So she had to come in, and we turned off the AC, and we had to like mop up everything that was on the floor, and also like vacuum up and like fan out the ceiling too, because there was like 2 inches of water up there too. So it was a big mess, and we ended up opening later, and we didn't have any indoor seating or bathrooms, which people kind of got mad at. And then
I was gonna say you opened.
We opened later, and we blocked off the entire seating area.
Okay.
So people had to come in and get their coffee and then leave.
Yeah.
And some people were mad, and people asked to use the bathroom, and we were like, no, like
you
it's
can't.
Like a hazard.
Yeah.
You can't walk.
You
over
can't
there.
Go there.
We can. You can.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Exactly.
We're insured.
And then people being so mad about that.
I know. And somebody like people would go in past the barrier, and we're like, it's taped off.
Mm. Like it. Oh my god. Are you?
It's
stupid?
Not a game.
Yeah.
You just can't go over there.
This is not an obstacle course.
I know. So then on top of that, like crazy opening, and mopping and water, and my boss having a migraine, then we had somebody call out.
Oh,
so we were down a person, and then we just had like multiple crazy customers. Damn. And we had somebody call on the phone, and my boss answered, and they were like, hey, do you guys have cake? And she was like, no.
No, we're
and they said, F you, and hung up the phone.
Me. That was me, sorry. I didn't know that was your boss. I'm sorry.
It's fine if you just call back and apologize.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's awesome. Like, I have a migraine, and I can't be here, and I have to be here, and somebody just called and cussed me out. And then we had a customer come in later in the day who asked for a charger, and we were like, no, we don't have a charger. And he got mad and, like, yelled at us and walked out.
I'm so dead.
People do that where I work too.
It's been so hard trying not to take my boss's names or where I work or blah 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 blah. But basically just a very, very chaotic day yesterday, but it was so chaotic and crazy that it kind of made it fun. I was like, what else could go wrong? Like, we have no AC and it's leaking and blah blah blah, and nobody came to work, and everyone's yelling at us.
I love crazy days.
Why did you? Because also it's like, if we don't get a single task done today, what are they gonna do? Like, our ceiling is broken. And you want me to, like, go sanitize the back? Absolutely not. So I also spent the first full hour of my shift just
on
mopping.
My phone.
No, that too.
They don't care about it.
How did it go today?
Today it was fine. So my boss actually was the one that fixed the AC unit.
Oh, wow.
Because it was an external problem. Apparently there's, like, a tray or, like, something that catches the condensation or, like, a condensation line or something. Mm-hmm. And something was just bent out of place.
Okay.
So that's why, like, I'm sure the machine didn't, I don't know, something happened. Something was bent, and my boss just, like, bent it back into place. So now the AC actually works, which is super fun.
Okay.
It felt really weird walking in and having it not be, like, 90 degrees inside.
Yeah.
And today I had a short shift, and it was easy, and everything was fine.
Good. I love that.
Part of our seating area is still blocked off.
Good.
But the majority of it is open, and we're back to normal, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Great. Crazy.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that was all I was going to say.
Love your hair. Hope you win.
Is that from Drag Race?
From Hairspray, I think.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Love your hair. Hope you win.
Yeah.
Sounds like it would be from Hairspray.
I love that.
I was going to bring up a little thing that I just found out today, that Gypsy Rose is pregnant. Yeah.
She's preggers.
People are saying, so she had her husband. What's his name?
This is, Nick?
No. Nick? Maybe Nick.
Yeah.
So Nick was her husband. They got divorced. Now she's dating this guy named Ken.
Okay.
Yeah.
And apparently she's due in January. So she's like however many weeks
11?
Along.
11?
That sounds familiar.
I saw something.
10 or 11 weeks along. And so I just, like, literally just before walking into this house, I saw a TikTok in the car of a girl, like, doing the math. And she was like, this is her ex-husband's baby. There's no way it's Ken's baby. Like,
oh,
she
no.
worked it out. And she was like, If Gypsy Rose isn't lying and she's, like, telling the truth about when she got divorced from her ex-husband and when she got together with a new guy, there's no way that this is Ken's baby.
Uh-oh.
And I just found out she has, like, a TV show or, like, a...
I think she has a series with
a
Bravo
series?
Or something.
Lifetime.
Sure. Lifetime? She has some type of series.
Lifetime would.
Yeah, so they're, like watching her life and seeing what she does post...
Prison.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Also, when she got interviewed a while ago, like, she said that she wanted kids, but, like, not for a while.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I wonder what changed.
Yeah.
Maybe her birth control.
But
I was going to say, maybe nothing changed. It was not planned.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Oh, man. That's crazy.
I wonder if there's going to be any, like, clips or stuff, because I think it's still ongoing, the show. So I wonder, like,
probably.
If they're going to have any,
like,
reveals about pregnancy.
Make them want to renew it.
I was going to say, this is, like, absolutely fantastic reality television. And I also feel kind of bad for Gypsy Rose. I just feel like, I mean, obviously she's, like, you know, basking in the attention and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like she's been, like, really active on, like, social media and, like, she's been doing her thing and getting that bag. And I love that for her. But I do feel like that's such a crazy life to live.
Yeah.
Like, to have the way her childhood and adolescence went, and then to spend so long in prison and have all that craziness happen and be such a public figure
and then
get out of prison and...
Become
the way her life has been since then, like this micro celebrity,
have a series about her and live with
pregnant.
Her husband and then get divorced and then get pregnant. Like, I agree. Poor girl,
wild,
and she can be living her best life and do what's best for her and make the best out of the situation. But doesn't mean that we don't feel a little bit better.
No,
exactly. Poor girl,
like,
never
there's
had
just a lot going
any
on
bit
for
of
her.
Normalcy.
No,
ever
yeah.
What do you
life.
What's, like, normalcy for us? Like,
I feel like just like getting a regular job maybe living with parents that don't abuse you.
Let's start at the beginning here.
Well, let's think about that though. What do you think the percentage of like the population is of people who like don't have a normal life?
I mean, normal is relative.
Yeah. That's sort of the thing. So yeah, it's always
but
like,
I also just feel like we know abnormal when we see it, and I do feel like her life is like beyond the realm of like what an average person goes through.
But we're seeing it play out in a way that's like she had this crazy experience, and now she has this, you know, lifetime show.
This other crazy experience,
which has like happened before, so it's just kind of like crazy. I'm like, what's the pipeline here of people?
Well,
who...
that's also like. Just because that's visible doesn't mean it's like common.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, but because I don't have like a good scheme of like how big the population is, how big is that like subgroup of people who never have a normal life?
Oh.
You
well, know what I'm I mean? Sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say it's probably like statistically like a minority.
Surely.
People, but
it's
like,
probably...
I'm sure there's a lot. Like, just because there's billions of people in the world, I'm sure that's like a lot of people have very like beyond. "Quote unquote normal lives."
Breaking it down, thank you. But like, what's the answer? Like, I want to know how many people.
You want numbers?
I do.
I
want
can't
numbers.
Give them to you.
I would imagine like has to be like around 10%. You think it's more than that?
I don't know. I mean, like, what again? Like going back to your original question, what's normal? What's not normal?
Yeah, like, breaking it down, every like 100% of people have 100% different lives than other people.
So now what?
Exactly.
There's no one answer.
No, I'm asking you that. Yeah. Now what, Thomas?
So now that she doesn't have a normal life and never got a chance to have a normal life, it's like, what does that even mean? What does that really mean?
I don't know what you're saying. You're asking for an impossible question to be answered.
You're
right
getting
now.
Really I abstract guess. With it, and I don't know if I'm following you.
I guess.
And that's on me because your brain's so big. But I just think if the heart of your question is like normal versus like not normal.
Okay, I could like phrase it differently, I guess. Okay. What restrictions or like what needs to change about the situation so that it doesn't happen where this is like all the bad things that have happened to her obviously are like now getting. Is it okay that she's like getting a Lifetime series and stuff like that? Like obviously yes, because she has to make money and this is probably one of the best ways for her to like. Mm-hmm. Get her name and her story out there. And
I think like if we're going into like what's like good and bad or whatever, I feel like
or is it just
a lot of the things that have happened to her have been bad, but that doesn't make them all like, I don't know, like, yeah, she has found some kind of success through like reality TV and like being like this internet sensation. So, which, you know, I don't think is necessarily that in itself, I don't think is good because I think like celebrity is a crazy drug and, you know, and she's already been through a lot. But I guess now we're getting into like, is normal versus abnormal like good or bad? And I don't know.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And do
nurture
celebrities.
Versus nature.
Yeah. And celebrities in general. Mm-hmm. Is that like it being abnormal? I guess. Yeah. Is that just.
You're asking is abnormal automatically bad?
I mean, yeah, not necessarily, but
not necessarily. But in Gypsy Rose's case, we're talking about it with negative connotations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. What has happened to her is abnormal and bad and wrong and shouldn't happen to anybody.
But only because of her circumstances, not because of anything she's done or chosen.
No, I think it was first her circumstances and now it's what she's chosen. I think
post-prison, though.
Post-prison.
Yeah.
Post-prison.
Yeah.
I think she's sort of
leaned into it. I think that. She does have the ability to sort of, you know, back away from the limelight.
Agreed.
If she chose that. And I mean,
you think she could?
We don't know her situation because maybe she's not choosing this and she's kind of wrapped up in other things. But I do think that that there is the possibility that, you know, this is what she wants.
Yeah,
for
I agree.
Herself.
I think very easily leading up to prison when she killed her mom.
So
that was very much out of her choice. And
then.
After prison, this is all of her own accord. And I also think it is very possible to back away from the spotlight. People go and live rural.
I don't think she's living rural. I just think she's
I'm
like.
I'm not saying she is. Oh. I'm saying to get away from the spotlight.
Oh, sure,
people
sure,
go
sure, sure.
live rural lives.
Rough.
Woo.
I already hate this so much. Like, I can't. Oh, you need to really edit so much of this episode.
I'll work on it. Don't worry.
I'm just saying it is possible to get out of the spotlight and just not choosing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we were saying, we started this by saying, oh, I do feel bad for her. And it's sort of this, like, well, yeah. I do feel bad for her and for her situation. You never know what's actually going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, because she never had, like, a life of normalcy. But it's also, like, the celebrity of it all is, like, that's what everyone wants. And that is what, like, the...
Yeah, I guess just, like, the...
Yeah, she's feeding into it now. Yeah. I get what you're
the
saying.
The life events that have occurred for her to get to this point, very unfortunate and tragic.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And the amount of... stuff that she's putting out on social media and how much she's engaging, as much as it is her own choice. Like,
I do feel like it's a learning curve for sure.
Anything and everything.
She got out of she's been in prison for such a long time, and like the age of the internet has taken on a life of its own since she's like been out in the world. And also, she was a child before,
exactly.
So like a lot has happened since then, and also,
not even a normal child,
and not even a normal child. And then, because like, you know, like Britney Spears too. Like once she got out of her conservancy, which fantastic, free my girl Britney. Like so glad that she's able to kind of, you know, live her life too. But that's another thing too, where like her life is obviously very abnormal. And now I feel like there's been a lot of like talk from people being like, oh my god, why is she so weird now? Or like, she's like, she got out of the currency and now she's posting all this weird stuff, and like, you know, maybe she's not right in the head. And it's also like, okay, well, she's learning she's been under this, you know, oppressive contract for most of her life, and now she's trying to figure out what is normal for her and like what she should, what she can talk about and what she shouldn't talk about, and like what's, you know,
Jamie Lynn Spears, is that her daughter?
That's her sister.
Her sister.
Yeah.
Does she have kids?
Probably. I don't really know much about her. I just know she's also like, she kind of sucks too. All the Spears are.
I only know Jamie Lee Curtis.
But does Brittany? Right. Brittany doesn't have kids though.
She does have.
She
kids.
Does. Yes. Brittany does.
She does have children.
She has two kids.
Got it.
Yeah.
She was
and
on.
She has two sons.
Oh, hold on. I'm talking about somebody completely different.
Mm.
Who am I talking about? Not Britney Spears.
Well, Britney Spears does have children.
Two
okay,
kids.
Well, good
she does
for
have
her.
Two children. Yeah,
I'm talking about Paris Hilton.
Oh,
I don't know.
Kids?
I don't know anything about Paris Hilton.
She has two kids.
I didn't know she did too.
Paris Hilton was on the Call Her Daddy podcast, so I feel like I really got to know her.
Oh, right.
I had no idea who she was.
I do remember. Maybe it was you. Somebody was telling me that like she was like joking around because it's like everyone thinks she's just stupid and the dumb blonde stereotype, and then it's like, yeah, that's a character.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, she was
which,
like filming
good
a TV
for her,
show,
I guess. Yeah.
Have you seen like the clip of her that kind of is recent that she's like talking to like a judge in her pretty voice, and then she goes back to like business and talks in her regular voice?
No.
It's so yeah.
Oh my god,
love
that's
it.
Funny.
But yeah, Gypsy having a kid. I guess I saw like a tweet or a clip saying that like no one's ready to be a mom, but like, is, you know, Gypsy ready to be a mom?
Mm-hmm.
But it's all just, I guess, yeah, everyone has their own different lives.
I think people step
really
up
matters.
To the plate or they don't.
Yeah.
Well, also, what if she... Ugh, I just feel like I think that kids are a blessing and they change so many people's lives. So, like, what if Gypsy has a kid and that's what she needed to step away from the internet, and that's what she needs to like get her
a lot of people
started.
Don't step away from
I
the
know,
internet
I
after
just,
they have kids though,
yeah.
Especially when they're trying to be like the vlogger type of people, and she is starting to like post videos online and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, and I also just think that like
I don't necessarily see it, but I am hopeful that you're right.
Yeah, while kids may be a blessing,
what if
it's like not everyone feels that way, not everyone is like equipped to like take care of a child, even if it was a surprise, like, or even if they're planning
but
for it. Like, I just feel like there's so many
she does
factors.
Say though, like, I know all the wrong ways of how to be a mom. Like, I grew up knowing how to not be
mom.
A mom. So
and she has
like,
enough money,
so she's being
like
yeah,
even if
I want
she doesn't
to
have-
I want to like give the baby, I think, I don't remember if she said she's having a son or daughter.
Did she reveal?
Maybe
she,
maybe she didn't.
Well, I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah, you look that up.
When do you know the sex?
Yeah, I guess I don't
I think
know.
Like
pretty early.
Pretty early. Like
okay.
I want to say.
Well, and they
before?
Can be like wrong sometimes early on,
right.
And then later they like confirm it.
Yeah,
more.
Okay. People do like blood work, which is one that can go either way. Like people try to get that done, and you can find out before you do the anatomy scan.
Okay.
I feel like typically like 10 weeks. Because I think okay. I think people go in for ultrasounds like. Kind of like every 10 weeks, like they do like a 10-week
okay.
ultrasound, a 20, you know.
Okay.
So I think you go in at the very beginning of your pregnancy to make sure that everything is developing properly,
mm-hmm.
and then you go back in for an anatomy scan, and then as you get closer to giving birth, you go back in again.
Okay.
Oh my god, she posted her baby registry.
What's
good for her?
Oh, like for gifts.
Yeah. Right.
God bless her.
Yeah.
She said we are proud to announce we are expecting our first child.
Okay.
Yeah.
She posted a pink heart. She's wearing a pink dress. But I wouldn't know. I don't know.
But who's to say?
Who's to say?
Who's to say? Not me.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Good luck, Miss Girl.
Thomas, you want to go next?
You can do your...
Okay.
Your reviews.
I feel like we should do
a separate channel where we just review stuff.
I would love to. I want to do what Trixie and Katya do, where they watch TV and just talk about it. Because that's what I love to do.
I love watching those so much. And I also watch other people reacting to music or books or whatever.
It's just fun.
So I feel like we could do just a separate subcategory where we just review things.
That because I'm going to really go into detail about the couple of the things that I watched. So yesterday, me and my friend Daphne hung out. Shout out Daphne. And we watched basically two major things. So the first one we watched was Dev Patel's movie Monkey Man, which was fantastic. Have you guys heard of it or you guys don't know what I'm talking about at all? Okay. Anyway, so it's Dev Patel and he was involved in writing the screenplay. It was a story developed by him. He produced it, he directed it, and he starred in it. So man of many talents, right? And basically he has his passion project because he's really wanted to do an action movie for a long time. And he just wasn't getting action movie roles or whatever. And so he was just okay, I'm going to do my own. And then Jordan Peele stepped in and produced it too, because I think it was going to be Daphne was saying it was going to be straight to streaming or whatever. And then Jordan Peele was no, this needs a theatrical release. And so he also stepped in and produced it and put his company into it. And it's so good. The premise of it is he's this underground street fighter and he's kind of on a mission for revenge. There's a lot of political and religious corruption in the city that he's in. And as a result of that, when he was a child, his mother was killed. And so now he's on a path of revenge to get back for his mom. And so it's just really good. I feel I want you guys to watch it, so I don't know how much I can say.
I'm reading a little bit of the description.
No, not anymore. It came out months ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what did you watch it on?
It was on Peacock, I think.
Peacock? Okay.
Yeah.
I will watch a preview and see if it
you should.
Sparks my interest.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you ever watch action movies? Are you ever a fan?
I'm going to be so honest. No.
Me neither. Okay.
Probably one of my least favorite genres.
That's crazy. I love action movies. The fight choreography in a movie gets me going nothing else.
No, because I get emotional. Mm. But I watched Iron Claw, which I know isn't necessarily all action, but there's a lot of fighting and wrestling and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
But it had heart.
Oh, there's so much heart in this movie. Girl, if you want heart, watch this movie.
Yeah,
I was very thoroughly impressed by it because I love action movies. But
I really don't like
action movies. I do. I just love them. But the funny thing, too, is that a lot of action movies really fall into the... And I guess specifically I'm talking about American action movies because that's a lot of what I've watched. But they kind of fall into the same tropes and the same storylines. And it's all this guy who he's a fighter of some kind. He's either military or ex-military or he's a government agent. And then his wife or his girlfriend or his daughter is kidnapped or murdered, and now he has to go out on revenge, or his family's threatened, and then he goes and he takes down the bad guy. I just feel that is the classic basis for this
famous movie that's like that where they kill his dog.
John Wick.
Titanic. Oh.
No, yeah, John Wick, which I haven't watched, but I want to. Yeah. My brother and my dad watched, I think, all of them. There's four, I think.
Who's the actor in that?
Keanu Reeves.
I love Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, well then you should watch freaking
Kylo Ren.
John Wick. That's not Keanu Reeves.
Kylo Ren is
who's Kylo Ren?
Adam Driver.
Oh, who's Keanu Reeves?
Matrix.
I like Adam Driver.
I love Adam Driver.
That's hilarious.
Did I say Keanu Reeves? I meant Adam Driver.
Well, we were talking about Keanu Reeves.
Okay,
he has long hair, right?
Yeah. They both have a kind of long, shaggy cut.
Have you guys seen the Marriage Story? Is that the
one
he's in?
Yeah, but I haven't.
Ooh, it's pretty good.
Okay, I want to go back to my thing, though.
Okay, yeah. I'm so sorry. I got distracted by Keanu Reeves.
Yeah,
I'm
hilarious.
Adam Driver.
Right. Anyway, so it's a great action movie, Monkey Man. I was going to say Monkey Man by Dev Patel, which it is, actually. But it's really good, and I was really impressed with not only the visual component of it, the fight choreography is really good, the visuals, the cinematography, very beautiful, very good to watch. But also just the depth of the other characters that he meets and like the parts that they play in his story as well, because like he has a lot of like, you know, memories of his mother and all that kind of stuff too, which I felt like it was good. I feel like it went beyond just like the classic trope of like, oh no, my dead mom and I'm sad and I'm getting revenge for her. It was like we did get more about like their, you know, time together and like when he was a child, and like I feel like we got a lot of it, which was you know more fully fleshed out. And all the other characters that he meets either like help him or that like, you know, he's training with or whatever, there's some really good scenes in there that I really liked. Also, Dev Patel is just a beautiful man. He really is. There were many moments where he's like, you know, he's being really brooding or, you know, just looking really pitiful, you know, just got out of a fight, or he's remembering his mom, he's crying, right? And I'm just like, I actually can't look directly at you because why do you have such big, beautiful, soulful eyes with the longest eyelashes I've ever seen?
What did you mean by that?
And, like, why are you so beautiful? I can't focus. Not so arguing with a man with long eyelashes. It was a hard watch. Yeah. Whatever you say, beautiful. Like, I can't. Anyway, I highly recommend it. It's really good. Definitely going to watch it again at some point. Loved it. And we can talk later about it, too.
Yeah.
Off, because I don't want to give any spoilers, but there's stuff that I want to share that's really, that might make you guys even more interested.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the other one. And this one I'm really going to get into. So we also watched this show on Netflix called Ready, Set, Love. And it's like a Thai drama. And like, I watched the little trailer of it, and it looks so campy and colorful and fun, which it was. But there was a lot going on that I was not prepared for.
I love that.
So it's really cute. The basic premise of it is that it's like this reality where this like pandemic has like gone through the world, and like there are not that many men left because this disease kind of targeted men, and then not that many male children were being born after that too. So there's like a few hundred men like in the world, or maybe just in Thailand. I can't, that part I couldn't remember. And so basically what they do is they have this like dating reality show where there's like five guys on it, and they like there's 50 women who all get like, you know, eliminated throughout the time or whatever, but they all kind of go through this like competition show to like marry this guy and then like, you know, have kids and do this whole thing because there's like not that many guys.
Wow.
So it starts out and it's this very cheesy, cutesy like romance dating show, and it's very cute. Honestly, like visually the costumes are really fun, the visuals are good, the set design is beautiful, loved watching it, and it's just really silly. But then because this is kind of such a dark concept, because it's like, yeah, men are like, you know, have died out, and it's like this apocalyptic thing, and they can't leave this place where they are all kept in. Basically all the men and any male children who are born have to live on like quote unquote the farm.
Ooh.
And they like can't leave.
Yeah.
And so you find out, I think it's in like the first episode, I think you find out that one of the, they're called the gentlemen, the five guys that are on the dating show, like had escaped as a child and was like, you know, brought back in. Like, it's all very intense. It's like he tried to escape from this, and they were like, you know, had to like send like police out to find him. And they're kind of like, you know, trapped there. Like, they can't leave.
Escaping just to escape, or because they're like tortured, they're not treated
they're
well?
They're not tortured. They're not necessarily, but it's like,
yeah,
you know, they're being held there, and, and they're, you know, and I they don't know anything of anything. Yeah. And then it does come out later that it's just like, yeah, they are held there, and like they're not allowed to choose like any part of their life, and it's all very dramatic, and it's very fascinating because I was like, I wasn't ready for this. I was expecting a cheeky little rom-com.
Yeah.
And now we're getting into like crazy stuff. No, it's like a good ensemble cast.
Okay. A lot of women.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's so that's the other fun part too, is that so like the main two leads are like one of the gentlemen and then this girl who like is in the competition show. It's also kind of like a bit of like class dynamics too, because like a lot of the women who get chosen for are like members of like the elite families and like all that kind of stuff. And then like at the beginning, the way it happens is that they have like these lottery girls. And so like five other women are going to get randomly chosen to like be part of it. And so the main girl gets chosen through that. And then she is kind of like the fan favorite because she like, you know, was just randomly picked, and she's not one of these like elite, you know, heiresses or like, you know, anything like that. And so people are like rooting for her. It's like kind of rigged too. So it's like, oh yeah, like this heiress and this like gentleman are going, like are supposed to be ending up together because like the mom who like runs the show and like the company and like the farm and everything is like, no, my daughter needs the best and like whatever.
Because I screwed the judges.
Yeah. And so.
It's another Hairspray reference.
Period. We're just full of those today.
Yeah.
But it's really fascinating because they have to like go through, they go through like all this stuff where like, is this like good? Is like, are they doing this for the good of humanity? Like a lot of societal implications.
Like the Anthropocene Review.
The Anthropocene Review. And
I love that stuff.
No, it's like, it's really good. It's very good about like, you know, what is.
Yeah. Human nature, like the book that we just read.
To watch,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah. Well, and then the other thing too that I was going to say is that, yeah, so the main couple, obviously a straight couple, but full of gay people. Mm, everybody else is gay, pretty much. One of the gentlemen, spoiler, he's gay.
That must be rough for women.
No, yeah.
When there's like five men and
that one
gay.
Can't even breathe.
And
that one, yeah.
Well, also like he doesn't really know. He kind of like finds out like over the course of the show or whatever.
As it happens.
But it's really special.
As it
and
goes.
Then it's as it goes. And then one of the other characters, she's so great. She's like one of the she's like the producer of the show, and so she's kind of set up almost to be a villain. But you totally root for her. She's actually so great, and she's not a villain. Mm-hmm. And she and her wife are like just living their happy lesbian life, and then. Yeah, it's so good. I actually really can't recommend it enough. And it's only 6 episodes. So
Easy money.
Me and Daphne watched the whole thing last night.
Yeah, what was this on?
It's on Netflix.
Okay.
Ready, Set, Love.
I love a 6 episode. Like,
no, it's awesome. Amazing. Like, it's just, yeah. We were like halfway through, and then it was like 9 p.m., and I was like, do I go home? And then we were like, no, we want to finish it. So we just watched the whole thing, and I'm glad I did. And it's so good. I won't tell you more because I don't want to spoil anything, but they... should and actually have a moral imperative to have another season after this because I'm like, there were things that weren't tied up, like they could end it, but there were things that weren't tied up, you know. I'm like, we need answers actually.
Have we talked about the book that we read on here, I Who Have Never Known Men?
No, we haven't.
Kind of
let's
like
chat. Yes,
kind of like that.
Yeah, you want to take it away?
Yeah, I'll just do quick because I know Thomas has never hated anything more than when we talk about books.
That's not true.
He said, no, Thomas said,
he did say that, but he's lying.
Yeah,
okay. Like I said, Thomas is a liar.
Yeah, I don't know what I want.
Yeah.
We recently read a book for our book club called I Who Have Never Known Men, which was actually recommended by Pia. So shout out Pia again.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody in our book club, honestly, kind of all of us really loved it.
It was our highest rated book club.
Yeah.
Book club
everybody
book.
Gave it like 4 and 5 stars.
Yeah.
And it was a quick read. It was like
200
pages.
What did you rate it on? Or are you just between each other?
Just,
you
yeah,
mean?
At the table. We were all like, what do we think?
Is there a thing where you like you can like rate books and stuff?
Yeah
I'm on Storygraph.
Storygraph and Goodreads are probably the two most popular. Like,
there's one for movies too, isn't there? Do you guys know which one that one is?
Is it Letterboxed?
Letterboxed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to maybe start doing that.
I know. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah.
I just love categorizing things and putting my opinions out.
To look back at like what you've read.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Watched and stuff.
Yeah, agreed.
But it's about this woman. It's from the point of view from a young girl. It starts as a young girl who has basically lived her whole life in this bunker with only other women. So she doesn't know a lot about anything. She's kind of lived her whole life there, whereas all the other women are older than her and had lives before they were in the bunker. They don't really remember it, and there's a lot of loose ends, and we don't really know exactly how they all got there.
Yeah,
but basically they're in this bunker and something happens, an alarm goes off, and the guards run out, and they never see the guards ever again. Like, that's
They never know what happens. Basically, they've been kept there, these guards. They're under constant surveillance. They're like never not being observed by these guards. They don't know why they're there. They're not like taking any data. They're not like talking to them. They're not even supposed to talk to them or look at them or anything like
and
that.
The girls also aren't allowed to like touch each other. Like, they all just like kind of live their lives.
Yeah. Is it in a bunker?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just
and so
like
they can't
in a
see outside.
It's like a
it's
basement.
Just
not, they're not like separated individually. They're
no,
just all together.
They're all together
right?
in like one big thing.
Heard.
Yeah. But it's crazy too because they're kept like in a weird schedule. Like, it's not a regular like 24-hour day even
and
it's
even
like
the guards have like different numbers of hours that they're there and they
yeah
like trade
different
out
shifts it's like
times.
nothing is like, you know, regularly set to a schedule of any kind that they can discern.
So as a guard is like opening up their cage to I think give them food or something, an alarm goes off and basically all of the guards like
scatter,
look at each other and like run away. And so the girls are like freaked out and they don't leave the cage for a little while and they're kind of figuring out what's going on. And then they finally exit the cage and they climb up the stairs and they're seeing all these other parts of this like underground world that they've never seen before.
No, they're up in the, they're not underground anymore. They come up out of
the
bunker.
No, but they were looking in, like, the other parts of the bunker. That's what I meant. Sorry.
Okay.
There's, like, a fridge full of food down there that could keep them going for, like, years.
Yeah, like, tons.
A break room for the workers and blah, 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 blah.
And there's nothing, like, personal in there either, which is also, like, fascinating because it's, like, they don't... Where did they live if they weren't there, you know?
It's all, like,
where
manufactured.
Did they go? Yeah, so then they finally
Wait, they're there since, like, they were born or what? What's
All the women were kind of brought in at different ages.
Ages.
So the point of view that the book is written is from a girl that came there as a child.
Okay. Like a baby.
So she doesn't remember anything besides the bunker.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other people.
She hears stories from other people, perhaps, maybe?
They don't really like talking about it.
Okay.
And they don't tell her much. And that's why
it's
so fascinating.
That's what I'm trying to
figure out. She doesn't have any, like, everything that you think is so crucial for, like, a child to, like, grow up and, like, learn about. She doesn't have any reference for any of that. She can't read. She can't write. She doesn't know math. Like, she doesn't know anything.
She even says,
like, when they talk about, like, they've spoken about when they're outside and, like, trees and, like, the sky and the birds. She's never seen any of that. She doesn't know what a tree looks like.
Yeah.
One thing that struck me that was crazy is that when they initially leave, like, the cage part of the bunker and, like, go through the other rooms that are down there, she sees a room with a table and chairs. And she doesn't know that there are a table and chairs because she's never seen them before. They didn't even have that in the cage.
Yeah.
They're just on the ground the whole time. Yeah. And she says, I saw a table and chairs, but I didn't know they were table and chairs at the time. I just figured that out later.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, they're just everything that, you know.
But the other women were, everybody was brought there. It's women of all different ages.
Yeah, but they all have some kind of, like, concept of what their lives were like before or, like, you know, what the world is like. Mm-hmm. She's the only one who has, like, no concept of anything.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
also
she's
a
never
lot of the women
known men.
Don't
yeah.
remember a lot, too, because they were, like, heavily, like, drugged and sedated and stuff. Like,
well, of their, like, of the transition, yeah.
On the way there.
You don't think of their lives before, too?
They do remember.
But not all of it.
Maybe not all of it just because time has passed, but, like, that's something that they talk about is that they remember their old lives and, like, what was true. Because remember their children, and it was just that they don't
talk
about
it
much.
Okay, so that's fair. They maybe just forgot over time, but not like they don't have any recollection.
And they're under constant surveillance by security?
Yeah, the security never, they're never left alone.
They're never alone.
Got it.
Never.
Do they, like, are they able to, like, talk to each other and, like, be like, what, like, can we get out maybe? Like, do they ever talk about anything like that?
But they
never plan, scheme, scam?
So what is revealed throughout it is that at the very beginning they would be, like, beaten. They were whipped at the beginning, like, if they touched each other or if they, like, you know, like, were yelling or fighting, or, like, there are, like, some very dark moments where they talk about, like, women who tried to, like, kill themselves to kind of escape that misery,
and they were not allowed
to do that. Like, they were,
they
were,
they,
like,
take away anything you could use to kill yourself. Yeah. They're giving very
anything that would be
given,
used for violence.
Very, very minimal, like, clothing or, like, pieces of fabric and thread to, like,
make
their own clothing, and they only get it if
prison.
Their own their own clothing is, like, falling,
it's like
apart.
Falling apart. Yeah, and so basically they have not done that since that the girl has, like, had any semblance of memory or consciousness. Like, they haven't done any of that, so she's never known that. Mm-hmm. But the threat of it and, like, the memory of it in the minds of the other women is still very fresh and, like, very raw, and so they don't do anything.
Yeah. Well, also sometimes
that would
they'll, like,
do that.
Have the whip make a really loud sound.
Yeah,
to scare
they'll
kind of
scare them with it, and then it's like, oh, yeah.
But they haven't been whipped in a long time.
Yeah.
Do you want us to spoil the book? I feel like you're kind of interested.
I am interested.
Can we talk about it, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
So anyone who is not interested in getting this spoiled for them, skip, like, 20 minutes probably.
Anyways, so they're in this bunker. They make their finally make their way to the top after having explored the rest of what was underground.
Mm-hmm.
And they basically go
up. They decide to leave together?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah, they all leave.
There's 40 women total, by the way.
Okay.
Yes.
So 40 total, they all leave together. And there's also, everybody is in different ages. The youngest girl at this point is probably, like, 16 or something when they escape.
And the girl...
No, I think 19. She's, like... No, I think she's still young. I think she's still, like, early teens.
Oh, really? Like 14 when they escape?
Because I feel like when they start talking about it, she's, like, 12 or something. Like, in the very beginning. And I don't think much time passes while they're in the bunker.
Okay, so maybe she's, like, 14 when
the
they escape.
Point of
view, how old is she?
She's 14 when they escape. But the point of view changes.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, it's always her point of view.
You said the youngest person was...
It's from the point of view
of the
youngest
person,
okay?
Yeah.
I didn't mean the POV changes. I mean that the years pass, so she gets older and older as the book goes on.
Yeah.
Yes.
They make it to the top.
Okay?
Yes, they
make it out.
They come out of the bunker, and it's basically barren desert.
Barren.
This is just... what the fuck is that book? This is just Maze Runner.
No.
No.
Okay.
No, girl.
Have you ever read Maze Runner?
I have.
Okay.
They're like trapped in a maze and they can't get out. But when they do get out, it's all barren. And
they don't know that they're being observed. They don't know where how they got there. They don't remember anything.
But that is all boys.
It's different. And it's all boys.
Yeah.
True.
But you're saying that this group of girls, they don't know.
And these are all ages too. Yeah. They're not like just tweens or whatever. Anyway, so they get out and
it's barren desert. Yeah. And basically, I don't know if
they're like, we have to find something. Yeah. Like, we'll find people. We'll find a town. We'll find something.
So they start walking.
Yeah. They go and they get some stuff from down in the bunker. Like, because there's tons of food. There's clothes. There's boots down there. Like, there's all kinds of stuff that they can use. So they go and they take some. And they just start walking.
They walk and they walk for so long.
And they find, like, nothing until they come upon another bunker.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They go down inside of this bunker. And it's been, like, you know, a week or two since they left the bunker. I think it takes kind of like a little bit longer than a week.
It takes a good amount of time to get bunker to bunker. Yeah.
And that's like walking all day. And they don't find that out until later, obviously. So when they're first leaving the bunker, they don't know how long it's going to take for them to get to the next one.
Because they're assuming they're going to be able to find civilization.
A town. Yeah. Like their kids or something.
Yeah, something.
So they make it to the next bunker and they decide to go down. And keep in mind, they're still scared that like maybe this bunker has guards. Like we don't really know what happened. So they're scared.
They've still been scared the whole time that the guards are going to come back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They go down into this bunker and they find the same setup as their bunker, but inside the cage is 40 corpses.
Yeah, they did not.
So this group of people was being observed the same way that they were. And this one is also women.
Yeah.
But they didn't make it out.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of scenes they talk about of people like reaching for like the keys and trying to get them, like they're stuck in this cage.
Because as this goes on and they keep searching for some kind of town or civilization, they come across other bunkers.
Like bunkers.
And they come across bunkers that are women, that are only men. They come across a whole bunch of other things. And yeah, they do describe like they have never found another bunker that's empty and they've never found another bunker where the door was open. And so
every single
being able to escape was pure chance because the guards, when they left, they were unlocking the door to like put food in and then they left the keys in the door and that's why they're able to escape. And yeah, there was one where she was like, her body was left like, you know, reaching out to the keys where they had been dropped like, you know, a meter or something from the, I can't take it. But yeah. And so it's really fascinating. And so then as they are going through, they eventually find like kind of like a good spot to kind of settle because they're just not finding anything.
Yeah, and the only reason they decide to settle there is because it's like by water.
Yeah, they find a river. There's a lot of like trees and resources, so they start building like homes and you know, shelter and stuff like that. And she gets really into that because she's like, here's a skill, like here's something I can do. Because another thing that is kind of like hammered home in this is just the boredom of this, because it's just her and all these people. And she also has like a lot of resentment towards these other women at the beginning because they don't really tell her anything. They don't, like, when she comes by, they, like, stop talking about whatever they're talking. And it's not necessarily that they're shunning her, but, like, they won't tell her, like, you know, what men are like or, like, what love is or any of these things because she's like, well, what they're all like, what's the point? Like, it's never going to – you're never going to experience this. So, like, you're never going to be a man. Like, you're never going to need to know these things. So, like, why would we tell you? And her thing is always just like, I just want to know. Like, just because I'm not going to have it or know it or witness it doesn't mean that I'm not – I don't want to know. Yeah. And they still just kind of don't do that. So she's had a lot of resentment over that over the course of that time. But it's really interesting to see it from her first person point of view because she does grow a lot where she's like, I understand now like why they were doing that. Or it's like, I understand now, but I would have done this differently. I feel like there's a lot of like reflection that goes on because there's not much else to do. Yeah. And it's just sad. It's just like, you know, they build these shelters and then once they're done building the shelters, now what do they do? And so she like goes off on all these expeditions with other women like throughout the years that they are there in this kind of new settlement to like go find resources
or go to another bunker,
try to find another bunker, try to see if they ever find other prisoners who have been freed or are alive, which they never do. It just ends up being very lonely. And as they're there, like the women, like the older women start passing away. And there's just a lot of, it's just kind of like very the human condition.
Yeah.
Because as time goes on, she starts to kind of recognize, like, you know, being with these people is what is, like, real for me, like, in this part of life. Something that was so interesting is, so when they first come out of the bunker, right, everything, they have always been in view of each other and of the guards, right? So, like, even when they're going to the bathroom, like, there's a toilet in there, no walls, like, no nothing, no privacy. And when they come up out of the bunker, the other women kind of create this little cordoned off area to, like, go to the bathroom, and they kind of, like, set up some sheets and, like, have privacy, right? And so this girl has no concept of that because she's never experienced that. So she never is worried about, like, going to the bathroom. Like, she's not worried about all that stuff. And so anyway, these, like, women, like, are using this, and they kind of invite her to go use it, which she kind of recognizes as, like, an olive branch of, like, they're inviting me to partake in something that I, you know, don't understand or get really, but, like, it's, you know, this privacy is, like, important to them and, like, makes them feel like humans, right? So she goes in there, and immediately she's like, oh my God, I'm alone. Mm. It's like the first thing, she's like, I've literally never been alone before. She's never not been able to see the people that she's with. She's never not been seen by the other people, and she hates it. She kind of freaks out a little. It's like, she is very unsettled by it, which I think is fascinating because it's like, you know, when she's not thinking about it, she's still with other people all the time. And even though she holds all this, like, you know, anger and resentment in the beginning towards them, she's still very used to that. And, like, that's part of her human condition, that she kind of starts to, like, realizes that, like, you know, I am who I am because of the people that I'm with and all that.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very interesting. And, like, yeah, they go through a lot of different things about, like, it's what's, like, taking worth place, it.
Like, present day. It's not like it's kind in the past or in really the future. Did they ever talk about
I'm
cell
kind
phones?
Of imagining. No, I'm kind of imagining, like, post-apocalyptic future. The other thing, too, this element that we haven't mentioned, too, is that what she starts doing is she starts kind of keeping time, because she's also been noticing that, like, you know, the guards don't come at regular intervals. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes it's when they're eating. Sometimes it's when they're going to sleep. Sometimes it's, you know, this or that. And so
she actually starts by counting her heartbeats.
She starts by counting her heartbeats, because one of the other women had told her, like, you know, the average human heart has, you know, like, 70 beats per minute or whatever. And so she starts keeping time that way, and she hasn't really, like, she kind of figures out how to keep it steady and, like, how much time elapses, like, for her specific heart rate and all that kind of stuff. And so she starts keeping time. And so when the other women, you know, find out that she can do that, they kind of decide on a time to start where it's like, okay, we're deciding it's like 8 p.m. right now, and we're going to just go on and on from that. And so she just gets into this rhythm where she can just keep track of it in her, you know, just always counting in the background.
Yeah.
And so
really
they,
cool.
It's really trippy. And so then it's like, oh yeah, it's noon right now. And so now they kind of have a semblance of, like, normalcy, mm-hmm. because she can keep time. And so then when they get out, it's like, you know, supposed in her mind, in her time, it's like 4 a.m. and it's actually like noon or something. And so it's like, okay, we're going to reset. And then they start finding out that this world that they're in is not on a 24-hour cycle either. It's like 22 hours or something. So now they're like, are we not on Earth?
Yeah. So that's the other thing that it's hinted at, is it's like maybe they're on a completely different planet.
Yeah. Because so they go and they never find, like, the ecosystem never changes either. They can walk for weeks and months and nothing changes. It is always this barren
desert.
And
they never come across, like, an ocean.
No.
It's always just, like, barren. Sometimes there's, like, hills, but it's still just like,
so
barren.
Yeah.
Some trees, but, like, no, like, lush life or anything. No, also no animals.
Yeah, so that was the other thing, too, is that they were like, oh, my God, there's no, like, bird sounds
or
anything.
They literally,
like,
talk about eating meat. So it's like, where did that come from?
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, that's the thing, is they must have brought it.
Exactly.
You know? Because another crazy thing, too, is that, so after a while, they're in this settlement, right?
Yeah.
No, this is, you're gonna be gagged right now. So after many, many years in this settlement, she's like an adult woman. A lot of the women have passed away because she's the youngest. And so she's obviously the last left. And so once the last woman in the group passes away, she decides she's going to go on her own expedition and see what's out there, because she's like, she's never felt like she's been able to explore where she wants to or what she wants to find.
She just did everything and, like, stopped and settled down for the sake of the older women, but she always wanted to keep walking.
She always wanted to just keep walking. And so she's like, that's what I'm going to do. So she walks, she walks, she walks, she walks just for, like, the rest of her life, basically.
Yeah.
But she's walking, and eventually she comes upon a bus, which is like,
never seen a bus before.
Never seen a bus before. And, like, not only her in her life, but, like, in all the time and all the years that they've been walking
and
exploring.
And it's on a road. And she's
and
never
on
seen
a road.
A road.
And so she goes to the bus, and there's all these, like, the bodies of guards, basically. Like, they're all dressed the way that she always recognized them to be. Also, the guards were men. So that's the only men that she's ever, but she's never even heard a man speak. Like, none of that. And so she goes in, and they have like all these like backpacks full of like resources and stuff, and stuff that she finds in there is like, what did she even have? There was like a book, like a gardening how-to book, like how to like start
a gun.
Yeah, gun, but then like how to like a farm book. Crops and like how to like start.
I think like a piece that of kind fabric of stuff. Or
piece
something,
of fabric.
And then boots.
Yeah, like does a bunch of bits right? and bobs. Yeah, and so now like our theory that we kind of talked about at book club is that like maybe this is another planet and they're trying to colonize this place because something has happened, you know, on Earth or something. And so that's and so what the point of that was, we still don't know because like. They weren't there for observation. They weren't, like, you know, breeding. They're, like, there was nothing. Like, what are we talking about? But, yeah. And so she finds that. And then as she walks, she eventually finds one thing that she's never seen before. And it's, like, this pile of rocks that looks like it's marking something. And she gets in there. And there's, like, a hatch in the ground. And she goes down in there. And there's, like, another bunker. But it's, like, clearly, like, a residential thing. Like, this thing is cushy. This is like somebody could have lived here. This is like a house underground.
Yeah, and she described it like very fancy.
Very, yeah.
Like taken care of, like
yeah.
vibrant colors.
Like this is CEO of Planet couch. Earth is Earth's hiding place
yeah,
or something.
She got to sleep on a mattress, like a real mattress
like a bed.
For the first time in her life.
Yeah. And so she's in there and there's so much in there that she's never seen before because this is like the cushiest thing she's ever seen. There's plenty that she doesn't recognize. And she even says like she's glad that she found it herself and that the other women weren't with her because they would have been so angry to know that that like existed and there was like a you know safe place and that they hadn't had that and hadn't found it for so long and like because she I think at that point has walked for years or something like by
for
the
like
time she finds
years.
It she's like at the end of her life yeah. probably she's probably traversed the planet whatever it
she's
is
probably like yeah 70 or 80 years old or
she's
something.
Like old but yeah and so then she gets in there and she just kind of spends her life and then she's the way that it's told is that she's like documenting her life and like writing things down for someone to find and she's basically like she has this moment of kind of like I don't know like if this has a point but writing it down kind of makes it real and it's like writing it down with the thought that like maybe someone will one day read it or find it is its yeah. own kind of reward.
And I also want to say that I think that the reason why this book was so liked by our book club and why it was so like highly rated is because it talks a lot about like humanity and living in community with other humans and these like instinctive like desires that we have to
yeah.
be with other people and take care of one another. And even though there's like bad days or whatever, like she was happy to be, you know, have these friends that she lived with for so long. And also another thing that we didn't mention is that when the women got out of the bunker, a lot of them started coupling up.
Yeah.
You know,
they
and
kind of had started it down in the bunker too, but they just weren't allowed to touch
allowed
each other
to touch
or
each
talk
other.
Or anything
exactly.
like that too.
So once they were allowed to, it's like, you know, it just talks a lot about like human connection.
Yeah.
And so at the very end of the book, like my cousin Lisa said that she was crying.
Yeah.
And Faith and I both said that we want to read it again.
I do. I want to go back into it.
It's literally like 200 pages and it's like a crazy read and it's pretty fast paced, I think. And it's very, very just like touching and raw.
Yeah.
And like, it's a crazy way to like get the point across.
Yeah,
it's like,
well, it's kind of, I think it's cool because it's kind of the yeah. idea that like when everything else is stripped away, what do you have left? And at this point it's really just the people
it's,
that are around
it's
you.
Love and
it's love
human
and humanity
connection and touch and feel
yeah.
and shelter. And it's just like it's
very
beautiful.
It's
and
very
it's,
bleak at times
yeah.
and I think the whole thing is very bleak, but I think
it's,
that kind of
yeah,
puts in
know.
Contrast how, like, you know,
yeah.
what the point of it
exactly.
is, which is
and
just
I think
the humanity of it all.
After having, like, reflected on it with my book club and stuff and hearing all of their thoughts, it definitely made me, like, more interested in it and being able to, like, reflect on all the different parts because we all talked about all different parts of the book and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it really, yeah, it's just really sweet and it's,
yeah,
yeah like, bleak but also beautiful.
Yeah,
and, like,
bleak and
kinda,
beautiful, period.
Like, slow but also, like, they'll like be one chapter to the next 10 years will pass.
Yeah.
So it's like not really slow.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, I've never read anything like it.
Yeah. It's really cool. I recommend it.
Cool.
I'm sorry we talked for 5 hours about that book.
No, yeah. It was like, get to the point. What's the point though? But I get it.
No,
the
that's the thing is
the
that like so
is,
much
is yeah.
left unsaid. And
the point
yeah.
is nothing. We have no idea where they are.
Well, the point is it's like metaphorical for
yeah,
like
exactly.
life and being like, you know, the people who aren't in power feel stuck. And then once you get a chance, it's like, what's really important isn't, well.
Yeah. No, yeah. Well, no, because they do have moments of, like, they've always thought these guards, like, probably had all the information, yeah, and, like, knew what they were doing there. And as they discover more about the bunkers and, like, the bus and everything, they kind of discover they probably didn't know, yeah, anything either. Maybe, like, there's the probably something else going on that, yeah, they were also just here, yeah, and didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, well, and also, yeah, yeah, everything is kind of left, yeah, open-ended. We don't know. However, we have no idea where they, yeah, are. We don't know why the guards left. We don't know why they were in the bunkers.
The more and the more infinite you get. It's like, yeah, yes, you can find a lot of bad things, but what, yeah, the core center thing is being the people who are around you and the people who you nurture those,
yeah, absolutely,
communities with.
Going into the book, that's not what I was expecting.
Yeah, that's, no,
I was like, this is a crazy sci-fi book about the bunkers.
That's why I was like, this is just, yeah, Maze Runner.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was like, I understand what you're saying, but no, yeah, completely wrong.
Because there's definitely like the sci-fi thriller, like YA aspect to Maze Runner, where it's like you do get the answers, you find out they're fighting against, yeah, this villain, yeah, and like, you know, the world is apocalyptic because, yeah, of this disease that's ripped through it and like all that kind of stuff. But this
people
one is much smaller in scope. And also larger, I guess, but just it's more focused on like the interpersonal and interpersonal like, yeah, relationships that you get and like
feelings.
From her point of view and yeah, growing up in that, as opposed to like, you know, kind of the what do we owe each other and like revolution kind, yeah, of aspect of like other books
and her
like
thoughts
that.
And like knowing things just for the sake of knowing and loving people for the sake of loving, mm-hmm, and
it's much more introspective, I guess.
Yeah. And also I recommended Maze Runner to my other book club for like this next book,
nice,
pick, and they said no. I had like
whatever,
three options, and then the other people who were like hosting that month also brought like four options, and none of mine got picked.
Dang.
I was like, okay.
Well, also I feel like sometimes at a book club it's hard if you're gonna do a series because you have to do the full, yeah, series. I feel like you gotta,
I know,
do
but
all
I
of
also
them.
Feel like it's fine to just read one book, and also Maze Runner, sure, is so well known that I was like, we've all seen the movie, let's read the,
yeah,
book now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm gonna be the English teacher.
Nice. Well, yeah, maybe I will. I think I have it on my Kindle. I don't think I ever finished it.
I think it, mm, yeah, I think, yeah, it's, I'm sure you could just find it online.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, we have had a great time, and now let's let Thomas share what you wanted
Thomas,
to talk
the
about.
Next 5 hours are all yours.
No, yeah, literally. Well, I was going to say something else, but talking about books, I am reading more of Wicked, and, mm-hmm, I'm very hopeful and excited. I told Jackie this the other day. I was like, I really hope that the movie isn't as... I said, the real test Wicked has to pass is it going to be from a real and sometimes even dark perspective? Because that's what people miss when they make something Wizard of Oz related.
Yeah.
It can be,
yeah,
too corny or for kids. And part of Wicked's lore is that it's dark and very adult. And, mm-hmm, it should still have funny comedic moments, but through a dark veil. It's not,
yeah,
so goofy bing bong vibes. It's political.
Yeah. You sent that exact message to us. Yeah.
Oh, did I? Okay.
Yeah,
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 yeah, great. I just
you copy-pasted.
Copy-pasted.
Yeah.
Good.
Which I'm glad you did, because
so it's,
you're,
yeah,
right.
And I'm really interested in this, like, I took 3 days of a horror literature class and,
mm-hmm,
like read through all of the different thematic things that people write about in their essays, which I never did.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, listening to like certain things.
Was
from
that
a
an honors class?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
It was just like horror, like,
yeah,
I don't know if any of the like themed literature classes are honors, like children's literature. Can you take an honors class of that?
Film as literature honors class, and it was one of the best college classes I ever took.
Period.
I loved my teacher. I feel like I watched a lot of classic movies. Mm-hmm. I wrote like a 14-page essay on Edward Scissorhands.
Yeah,
I feel like I learned a,
yeah,
lot, and like it was really good. And as much as it was like a hard honors,
I would have loved to kept it, but
no,
it wasn't.
No, like critically analyzing media,
yeah,
is not only an important
though
skill, but
was,
also very fascinating.
If it was in person, I would have kept it.
Yeah.
And
oh yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. Mine was in person.
That's fair.
And that was my favorite because I would go to class and it would be 3 hours and we would watch a movie.
Yeah. And I would love to like, yeah, do anything where I'm writing down my opinions on.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thinking about,
yeah,
stuff.
So my essay on Edward Scissorhands was from four different perspectives.
Mm-hmm. What were they? Do you remember any of them?
One of them was feminist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Marxist, which is where,
okay,
the director puts themselves in the, mm-hmm, movie, kind of, and like how,
oh,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the other two.
Nice.
Okay. I was going to, yeah, say, when you said Marxist, that made me think like Karl Marx, like communist.
No,
is that
it's
a different,
different
thing? Okay.
I know. I'm going to look it up.
I was going to,
yeah,
say, later I'll Google Marxism in film,
yeah,
analysis.
Yeah,
but yeah, Wicked has a lot of feminism and post-colonialism.
Yeah.
And post-colonization. Are those the same things?
Sure.
Sure. And so I'm even... as the days get closer, and we can have move their release date
up. Yeah, that's crazy. Is it Thanksgiving? Is it going to be Thanksgiving?
No, it
now?
Was
it's
Thanksgiving
earlier now.
Before, yeah. Now
is
it's
it still
earlier,
November?
I mean, yeah,
okay.
22nd, I think.
Oh, that is Thanksgiving.
No, okay. Thanksgiving 27th.
Okay.
So we're kind of...
Gotcha.
We're kind of both wrong. So I was wrong.
Oh.
About it being about the director in film. I know I did do a perspective like that, but I guess the name isn't Marxism. It's like...
Okay. Self insert.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's not specifically about socialism, but is about politics. But it's just an idea that there's concepts that make a political understanding of the medium possible.
Okay. So, nice. Yeah. Talk I like that.
About politics. I still have the essay, so I should look it up.
Yeah, actually, would kind of love to get my eyes on that. Know, would I love to see that.
Like when I was writing it, I was like, oh, this is so good. And if I read it now, I'd be like, damn, girl.
Oh, that's
I could tell you were 17 when you wrote that.
Oh, my God. Part of my high school lore is that when I had AP English, I don't remember which one, but I remember writing an essay on, I don't remember what the quote was, but the prompt was like an Oscar Wilde quote or an excerpt. Oh, and love. I just remember having, I remember that while I was writing it in the gym, in that freezing cold gym while I took my AP test, thinking it, I was such hot shit. I was like, this is the best essay I have ever written. And I did do really, really well on that.
Did you get a 4 AP test. Or 5?
I remember my, whatever the junior year English was, I got a 5.
Wow. Yeah.
So
that's
I was
impressive.
Like really proud of myself. So I can't remember which year it was, but I wrote a great essay and I wish I could have it back and like see what it was. Cause I wrote it for a test. So like, I'm not getting that back, but one day I'll get my eyes on it. I'll infiltrate.
Forgetting. Yeah. I really think I'm a good essay writer.
Mm. Writing is fun.
It is fun.
It can be fun when you really have opinions to share, you really have a good, strong
or especially
voice.
When, like
it's a good time.
In I guess we haven't done this in a long time, but like in elementary school when you used to have to like write a story.
Yeah.
Oh, so fun.
You know what? I used to do that all the time. I used to just write
I think
stuff.
We've talked about this.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
I remember I talked about it out loud. I remember one time I had been writing and I would just write little stories, whatever. And I remember one time I had a couple friends over and we were just hanging out in my room and I like wasn't paying attention. And one of them had like pulled out my little papers from wherever they were and was reading them and was like, I don't get your story. And I was like, put that away. Mm. Put that back. Mm. Don't touch that. But yeah.
I found announcements from Monrovia High School.
Oh my God.
Monday, June 4th, 2018. Good morning, Wildcats. Will you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance? Skip over that. Attention all students. You must clear out your lockers by the end of the day on Wednesday. Everything left in the lockers will be trashed. If you have already purchased your yearbook and have not picked it up, please come by the student store at lunch. If you are not sure if your parents bought one for you, please come by and take a look.
Yep.
Thank you very much and have a great day.
Nice. Yeah, Rose did the announcements at our high school. That's your big, big
one
shining
time I
star.
Said, Happy Tuesday, and it was Thursday.
That's hilarious. Just like us right now.
Yeah. Me and Lena used to do the announcements.
Yeah, Lena.
God, I was so cool in high school.
I love it for you.
Me did the announcements. God, I was such a jock.
Thomas, I was going to say what you said about Wicked, having it to be, you know, it has to be like campy and fun, and also like, you know, have like real reflections on like the darkness of the content. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel Ready Set Love was, because it's very silly, very campy, very fun to watch, very beautiful, but and very silly, funny.
That's the movie, the second movie you're talking about.
Yeah, it's a show. It's
when
the show. That's
the show. What you're talking about. I thought of Wicked
and
too.
And I think
because when you
really
said that,
like
I was like, I need a show that is colorful and
it's
Wicked
beautiful to watch.
Is
I
a
love
musical
it.
And it's from a children's storybook, so it lends itself to be very colorful and bright and campy, but it has to have a dark undertone for
and,
it to really
oh
give
my gosh,
that
and
like
it does.
Yeah, the heft, the emotional baggage,
the
that
emotional
it,
heavy lifting. You know what, I'll I think maybe you should watch a trailer, or I'll make you I'll make you sit down and watch the first
from a
episode
feminist
with me.
Feminist perspective.
Yes. So I think you would really enjoy it, and it's you could easily binge it in half a day.
No,
so.
I'm sure I would like it. Yeah
I think you would.
But yeah, I hope that the first movie really does a good job at building out the world of like the political aspect of having a wizard versus there being a god versus there being it's the book talks a lot about like creation and different subsects of what did I just say?
Subsects.
S-U-B-S-E-C-T-S?
Yeah.
Okay, that is right there.
Okay.
of groups of people and then what they choose to believe and whether they think magic is good or evil. And well, everything's about whether what's good or evil. And I hope that they do a good job building that out and building up the the whole, like, the wizard came in and tore down all of these people, all of the, like, minorities, you know, the nature and everywhere that they live and they're not able to, like, grow anything. And so that's why everyone's turning to the wizard. And
yes.
I hope that they really, really drive that into the heart of the movie.
Yes.
Okay, I found the four perspectives really fast. Okay. I'm not going to read the essay, obviously. But the first one that I thought was Marxist. Man, I cannot speak today. is psychoanalytical. So that's when the director obviously like puts himself into the movie. And like you can kind of see parts of his life reflected in the way that he directs.
Absolutely.
And then Marxist. And I talked a lot about actors and why they were chosen to play roles and I guess the political aspects of that, which is cool.
Yeah.
And then historical and feminist.
Nice.
And yeah, it's pretty long.
Yeah. Well, I love that.
Thank you. Do you want to hear the conclusion? It's only like three sentences.
Sure.
In conclusion, Tim Burton made this movie to express how he felt as a teenager, growing up in an area that did not see him for who he truly was. Burton gave outsiders and society rejects across the world a voice with this movie, while simultaneously entertaining movie lovers of all sorts. Burton expertly executes his cinematic vision through character choices and mechanical aspects while still giving the people a classic they can enjoy for years and years to come.
I love it.
That sounds so professional.
Great work, Rose.
Okay, I'm going to read the whole thing later.
I love it. All right. My closing thought is that what you just said about the Wizard of Oz and Wicked and all that reminds me very much of the book that I'm reading right now, which is very long and I won't get into it because we have done so much meat at a section today.
Haven't we?
It's called Babel by R.F. Kuang, I think, are the initials. I think it's R.F. And it's fascinating. It's basically about like language as a commodity. It's fantastical. It's a fantasy kind of book, but like kind of historical fiction fantasy. A lot of it is based in like true times. It's like 1830s, I think, like in Britain. And basically this young boy is, he's born in China, grows up in China. And as a young boy, he's kind of taken to, Oxford, and basically raised up with the intention of going to this school, Babel, which is this institution for language learners. And basically language and translation is magic in this world. And like the manifestations of translating power a lot of things in the world. Like they can be used for as energy and like basically magic, right? And it's really fascinating because it's a very, very in-depth look at colonialism, at like what happens when it becomes like a native person's responsibility to kind of like save their like homeland and like what their responsibility is to their homeland as opposed to like let me back up a little.
It sounds great to me.
Yeah,
basically it's a lot of like what colonialism does and how it's upheld by people in power. And yeah, the same kind of thing where it's like they come in, they destroy all these resources, or they like monopolize these resources, and then that feeds into itself because the people there have no other choice but to feed into that because that's how they survive. And kind of a lot of like moral imperatives of like what is okay to translate, what is lost in translation, and like what, you know, how powerful language is as a tool for both like liberation and knowledge, and also as a tool to like oppress people. It's it's really, really fascinating. Good. It's a thicky book too.
Language
it's
like and linguistics
pages.
Has always been tied to magic though. And like the idea of that's why they're called spells and stuff like that. Like it's all coming from
absolutely
a very reading and writing is what the knowledge and being able to share that is what the magic is.
And this author, she's such a genius. Yeah. Like I really think she's
I love those connections.
She's written a lot of stuff too, and I'm really excited to like get into more of what she's written.
Good.
But she is just and she's in her own right is like a linguistic genius. She has like multiple degrees in like East Asian languages and like studied at Oxford. So a lot of like the stuff that's true there is like stuff that she had during her time learning there. And yeah, she's just has such a fascinating body of work behind her that I am really excited to get into. Highly recommend it. And I digress. I'm done.
Awesome. My closing thoughts are that I am going to Oregon.
Yeah, you are.
On Saturday.
Yeah.
And Thomas and Faith are going to Missouri on Saturday.
Yep.
And I'm really excited. And I can't wait for season 4 of this podcast.
Yeah.
And a live, laugh, love latte.
Period. Thomas?
Wait, I have something else to say.
Okay, bring it up. Do it.
Oh, it was just that because of Wicked. Ariana's probably going on a tour, maybe a mini tour between the Wicked movies, and I hope she does.
Nice.
That's all.
Manifesting it for you.
Good closing comment.
I'll leave it
All right. Love you guys so much. Great episode. We really dove in, and I love that.
And we love you. Thank you for supporting us.
Love you.
Love you.
We'll see you next season. Love you.
Bye.